Hi, everybody. This is Steve Savitsky, and welcome to Savitsky Talks. And today I have Mr. Bob Sugarman on the other line. Bob is a past chairman of the Conference of Presidents of Major Jewish Organizations, Major American Jewish Organizations, and also a past national chair of the Anti-Defamation League, a person who I've had the great privilege of knowing for several years and have traveled to many countries with, and it's a great honor and pleasure. Bob, how are you today?
I'm well. Thanks, Steve, and it's a pleasure for me to be talking to you.
Thank you so much. Well, here we are. It's post-Labor Day, and I guess the drama that everybody thought was going to happen as far as Washington and the Iranian nuclear pact, it's kind of subsided in the sense that the president has already gotten the votes, although one never knows what's going to happen. Anything could possibly happen. But what I really want to talk about a little bit is the day after. So where do we go and what happens now that it's more or less a fait accompli? So let's talk about, firstly, I want to talk about the Israel-U.S. relationship. And what do you think is going to happen now? And where is it going to go?
Well, I think we need to start from the premise and the realization that on the military intelligence level, the relationship between the U.S. and Israel has never been stronger. We hear that from not only the Americans, but the Israelis. The intelligence sharing, the military cooperation, the security planning is as good as it's ever been. And that's a very significant point. Having said that, there has obviously been significant tension between the administration here and the government of Israel. And so the real question is, what is going to be with that tension? And I think we're seeing some encouraging signs. So, for example, I read this morning that the Prime Minister and Secretary Kerry spoke on the phone last night, and they are going to meet when the Prime Minister comes to New York for the annual meeting of the General Assembly. And there's also been discussion about a possible meeting between the president and the prime minister in November. So I think you're absolutely right in characterizing where we are as the day after, and people are going to be forced to and will look forward to the future. I'm usually an optimist because I don't see any other way to operate in this world, or a cautious optimist. So I think that as we go forward, the relationship between the United States and Israel will remain strong on the military intelligence security level and get stronger on the government-to-government level.
Now, what about the people in Congress and in the Senate? Those who voted for, you know, with the president, do you think they're going to be more vigilant as far as trying to keep Iran in check and making sure that indeed, you know, if there are any violations, they're going to deal with it in a very, very forceful way?
Well, I would hope that is going to be the case. And there are concrete things that can be done. I'm not the only one talking about this. You've got Ambassador Dennis Ross, Ambassador Nicholas Burns, Amos Yadlin in Israel. They're all talking about the ways in which, now that the JCPOA is going to go forward, to make it stronger. Even those who are supporters of the agreement realize that there are problems with it. And what Dennis Ross and Nick Burns and Amos Yadlin are saying is there are ways in which those problems can be dealt with going forward, either by legislation or by executive action or joint action with the state of Israel. So I would certainly hope that now that the deal is done, you know, for better or worse, depending on what you thought of it, there will be an effort made to plug some of the holes and to strengthen it.
And do you think that in the next political campaign, which is underway today, this is going to remain as an important issue and a big divide between perhaps the Democratic candidate and the Republican candidate?
That's hard to answer, and because it depends on who the candidates are going to be. But as I think, as a general statement, the front runner candidates are pretty much on the same page as making sure that this deal is strengthened, and that the holes are plugged, and that Iran be put on notice that they won't be able to cheat, even in small ways, step up their activity in support of Hezbollah, Hamas, and so I think the campaign will not be as divisive as has been the run up to the agreement. I mean, and but you may be asking this question down the road, but I'm gonna preempt it. I think the critical thing that we as a community have to do right now is put the divisive vitriol behind us. I mean, I've been in Jewish life for many, many years, and I don't remember a time at which the rhetoric and the vitriol has been worse than it is today. And to me, the number one priority for the community is to put that behind us and to all get together and get behind the kind of effort that we've just been talking about.
Well, you know, I agree with you about that. I know that's very difficult to do, because some people have already, you know, decided that this is going to be their issue and they're not going to relent on this. So I would hope that you're right. I'm usually cautiously optimistic. I am not that optimistic about that. So in line with that thinking, let's talk a little bit about AIPAC. I mean, AIPAC, this invincible, incredible organization, put everything on the line publicly, a lot of financial resources, capital resources. Where do they come out in this whole picture now?
Well, I think that they come out a little weaker than they were going in. Obviously, as you say, they put everything on the line and they came up short. Having said that, however, AIPAC is an amazing organization. One of the treats that I had as the chairman of the conference was the ability to address the AIPAC policy conference. And you look out there and you see 14,000 people in the convention center in Washington from all over the country, from all strains of the Jewish world. And it is a powerful and vibrant and vital organization. So, yes, in the near term, they're going to be somewhat hurting. And along the lines of what your comment was, the anti-AIPAC people out there, and there are some who believe AIPAC does not speak for the Jewish community, will use this, quote, defeat, close quote, as a further demonstration that AIPAC doesn't speak for the community, and will attempt to further weaken AIPAC. I just think that in the final analysis, looking down the road a year, AIPAC is, to quote somebody, the premature predictions of AIPAC's, or the predictions of AIPAC's demise are premature. AIPAC is not going anywhere. AIPAC will be with us, and that's a good thing.
Okay, no, I agree with you about that. I wonder about the next presidential campaign, and I guess so much of it is going to depend upon what really happens. I would imagine that most people think that until the money is released, which doesn't happen until they meet certain criteria, Iran has to meet certain criteria, things will be rather quiet. And would you agree with that?
I think that, yes, I would agree with that. But one of the points that Dennis Ross makes is that there is a way right now to deal with the potential, indeed the inevitability, that some of the funds that are going to be released to Iran at some point down the road are going to be used to increase their support for terrorism all over the world. And what he's saying, and I agree with this, is if there appears to be a surge of that kind of activity, there should be legislation now that says if that happens, there will be consequences, and not wait for the inevitability that it's going to happen, but take action now through legislation, through executive action, to make it clear to the Iranians that the other partners in the P5 plus one, you know, putting Russia and China aside, but the Europeans are going to react very, very strongly to any further attempts to destabilize the region and indeed the world. One thing that you mentioned, and I think this is a problem, but I think it's a problem that's got to be met, and that is the phenomenon that people have already staked out their future plans to, quote, retaliate against the members of Congress, the senators who voted the wrong way in their view. So I've heard that there are going to be challenges from the left when Senator Schumer seeks the minority leadership. And there are going to be challenges from the right when Jerry Nadler seeks to be reelected. And I think what the community has to do and has to say is step back. Yes, you might have disagreed with either the senator or the member on Iran, but they are very, very senior members of the Senate and the Congress. They are great friends of Israel. They are great friends of the community. And look down the road and realize that mounting a challenge to Chuck Schumer's quest to be minority leader or Jerry Nadler's reelection is just flat-out counterproductive for the community, for Israel, and for the United States.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. I want to get back to something that you talk about, you know, the consequences. I mean, one of the things that I personally have always felt, and I think you've heard this as we've traveled together in various sources and various places over the last few years, that when America said, you know, all options are on the table, including military options, there was skepticism about that. Certainly there was skepticism in Iran and in other countries. Do you believe today that Iran thinks that if they violate this agreement, America might decide to do what they talked about, which is military action?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I agree with you 100% that there is real skepticism. When the president did not take action in Syria, for example, having set the red line, that just increased the skepticism. Having said that, it will be, and one of the suggestions that Dennis Ross makes is there should be legislation that would authorize a military option. And I have a question as to whether the Congress of the United States, talk as they might, will actually adopt that. Because, and I go back to Syria, the week after the president went to Congress to get an authorization to act in Syria, the conference hosted Elliot Engel. Steve, you may have been there.
Of course, yes,
And Elliot was a very strong supporter of military action. But what he told us was his mail was running 20 to 1 against. The American people are just tired of military options. They've had Iraq, they've had Afghanistan. So it's one thing for Dennis to say there should be congressional authorization, with which I agree 100%. It's another thing to see what will happen when that kind of a vote gets to the floor.
Right. No, I agree with you about that. Well, listen, it's certainly going to be interesting times, and I agree that we have to find ways of coming together, and we've got to make the most of this situation, whether we were for it or against it. We've got to take it and grow from there and make sure that the relationship between Israel and America continues to remain strong. It's in all of our best interests. And I thank you so much, Bob, for coming on the program, giving us your candid opinions and your observations, and continue to do the great work for the Jewish community, okay?
I appreciate the opportunity, and just if you ever want me back, just let me know.
Absolutely. Be well. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, Steve. Thank you. Bye-bye.